Ryan Rashog from TSN. Jonathan Schauger, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, buddy. How are you?
I'm great. Can the Rangers win more than one game, realistically?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I don't know why you're thinking it's going to be as much of a walk as you're making it sound like it will be.
Well, I don't know. I just look at the Rangers team. I don't see how they match up against the Kings.
Well, offensively, it's not pretty for them, is it?
No.
Like, I think Drew Doughty has more points than any Ranger so far in these playoffs. Drew Doughty alone. So, offensively, the matchup is very difficult for the Rangers. LA is scoring more. They got more players that are, you know, they're deeper offensively. But I think the Rangers have the better goaltender. I think the Rangers have better team defense. And okay. That gives them a puncher's chance.
Do you think their team defense was better than Chicago's?
I don't know if I would say that their team, like, I think the combination of their goaltender and their defense is better than the combination of the goalie and the defense in Chicago. Put it that way. So if you include Henrik Lundqvist as part of their team defense, yes, I would say that they are. Does that make sense? Can you kind of...
Well, I don't know if you can't put... Them? Yeah, because you said the goaltender is one. Like, he can't be in every conversation, can he?
Okay, well, So defense for defense, New York to Chicago. I think it's comparable because I think that Mark Stahl is not underrated, but I think Mark Stahl is a pretty darn good second pairing defenseman. I think Girardi and McDonough was unbelievable in a few games against the Canadiens and very, very steady. He's not Drew Doughty. He doesn't have to be. I think that you look at the way that the Rangers made it to the Stanley Cup final. It was a 1-0 game. A shutout for their goaltender and an unbelievable defensive performance from their team. Now, again, Montreal didn't have a whole lot coming at them, but I just like the way the Rangers are playing defense right now. So their goaltender has had his bad stumble and then locked it down. Jonathan Quick, yeah, he's one of the best goalies in the world, but he's been okay in this last series. He was okay. He wasn't spectacular. So I just think that I still think LA is going to win. I just don't think it's going to be 4 or 5 games. I think the Rangers will put up a fight.
No, I think New York wins one game. I just look at the LA Kings and the teams they beat along the way. And I know they had to go 7 games in each series to do it. I just feel the West is so much better. And the Rangers have played 20 games. The Kings have played 21. I don't buy a second that the Kings are suddenly this more fatigued team.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, yeah, it wasn't an easy path for the Rangers either. New York has had to beat the, or sorry, Los Angeles has had to beat the better teams to get there, for sure. So that argument can go both ways. You can say they've already toppled some of the best teams in the league and have proven they can do it and are hitting a good stride as they hit the Stanley Cup final because they've beaten all these good teams. Or you could say they've had a tough road. These have been really hard-fought games and hard-fought series. And so who knows what's left in the tank. We'll see. I don't think fatigue is going to be a huge issue either. I agree with you on that point. But I think the Rangers will steal a couple of games in this series. They've got something going on. They do. Just being around that team, they do. This whole rallying around Marty St. Louis thing and Rick Nash playing some decent hockey. And if their goaltender gets hot... Yeah, I don't know. There's something about this team this year.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of the feel-good stories, but unfortunately, I don't see it having a feel-good end. I just, man, the LA Kings team, size, skill, like they're top players, like Anze Kopitar and Gabrick and Carter and, you know, Justin Williams when he need a clutch goal. And, you know, Tyler Toffoli, a young guy who's stepping up, and, you know, Pearson and Muzzins, like they just don't really have a weakness. Yeah. Like, everybody's contributing on that team right now.
Yeah, I agree. And everybody's in a role that they belong in, right? Nobody's really playing in a position where they're probably playing a little out of their depth. Everybody is right where they're supposed to be. And that is a trademark of a Stanley Cup winning team. You know, that was when Chicago won their first cup a couple of years ago, that was the situation. When the Boston Bruins won their cup, that was the situation. Everybody was playing right where they were supposed to be playing. And I don't think you can say the same thing about the Rangers. I mean, Derek Brassard probably isn't a second-line center, and they've got some guys in situations that they're maybe a little bit out of their depth.
The Chicago Blackhawks, and, you know, man, I can't think of a more disappointing loss for a team. I know there, you know, there's been seven game series. Obviously, Canuck fans will say, "Hey, Gregor, don't you remember the Stanley Cup final?" But the game wasn't close. You know, remember that game four where they won 4-0, I think it was, in game seven? Like this, you go to overtime, you had the lead three different occasions. Like this series was back and forth. It was so entertaining. And like the Hawks, sure, people talk about, they need a second line center. Sure. And that really could be the difference ultimately, right? If they find a guy who can be a contributing second line center. But man, when you see Chicago and L.A., there's really no reason when you look at the age of these teams for either one of them not to be back here again next year.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the impressive thing about what, I mean, LA in particular, they've been good for a little while now. And somehow they keep adding players. They keep finding guys that just step right in. Remember back when they won the Cup a few years ago, the young guy who was trying to be a regular in the lineup, who just a real good up-and-coming young defenseman who was part of the depth of the future for them was Slava Voynov. Well, now he's there and he's a regular and he fills in. And Jake Muzzin follows him. Like these guys, they're not high draft picks. They're just really good additions. And they pan out. And they've been able to do that. Toffoli, same thing up front. They've had some of their younger, bigger guys who they've been patient with and have developed into decent, usable bottom six forwards, whether it's Nolan or Clifford or whoever you want to talk about. So, yeah, it's impressive the way they've been able to keep their shelves fairly stocked and turn not the core of the team over, but they've kept the core the same and just added real nice parts all around through organizationally just being really efficient.
Well, you look at it, and those two organizations both had some downtime, right? The Hawks went to the playoffs once out of 10 years before they kind of got their act in gear a little bit. And, you know, you look at the Edmonton Oilers, Ryan, and realistically, you know, the Oilers, people will I know that they stunk in 7 and 8 and 9, but unfortunately, they made so many bad managerial decisions in that time that by the time 2010 came around when they got Taylor Hall, you'd probably say that's the start. Like, this team is probably still 2-3 years away from being competitive when you look at the top teams in the West, unless Craig McTavish can have some magical wand and find a way to make three or four more David Perron for Magnus Pajärvi type trades.
Yeah, and there's only so many of those that you can make. But I agree, man. Especially on the back end. The back end is where they really need to get things sorted out, because Andrew Ferentz has another 1, 2, 3 years left on his deal. They've got to figure out what they're doing with Petrie. What kind of money are they going to give Schultz? But they need to round out that defense with some experience, some guys who have experience in the league who are effective NHL defensemen. They have to add some of those guys. They can't just go with all young guys. They can't. And then up front, they've got a nice core group up front, but they have to round it out with some NHL veteran guys who know how to be good and contributing NHL players. Not these guys that come in who have a little bit of experience but just don't get anything done. They're a ways away. And I think that the rebuild kind of involuntarily started when they got Everly at 22. That was a real nice pick in that spot. And then, you know, PRV was whatever, but the Taylor Hall year is where it consciously started. So they're a ways away. I agree with you, and it's their goaltending situation still up in the air, and their defense is yikes, and they've got some stuff to work with up front. But that's a long way away from the hockey we watched playing last night's Game 7.
And, you know, you look at a player like Toffoli, and to me, I see a prime example of letting a kid go back to junior for an extra year and how the long-term benefits clearly outweigh, I think, the short-term benefits.
Well, and where was he picked?
47th. Actually, 47th. Ironically enough, right between the Oilers' pick of Marinson and Hamilton.
Yeah. So he goes at 47, and to send a second-rounder back is not really a big deal. Sending a top five or top eight pick back or whatever the case is, there's a little bit more, not controversy, but discussion. But a second-rounder, absolutely. You let those guys marinate. But the thing about the Kings is they're able to. Like, they're able to, because organizationally they have the depth, they've got the quality players at the NHL, but there's no reason to rush a young guy. Even if he looks really, really good and ready, well, let him wait. The other team that's been able to do that over the years is the Detroit Red Wings, and now they have Gustav Nyquist actually contributing at that level and Thomas Tatar. And they've got these young guys that they've been able to let them marinate properly. But when you don't have the depth on your NHL team, it's really hard to make that decision because, like it or not, if they don't improve, a good example might be a guy like Mitch Moraz, right, who physically probably will be ready fairly soon, but is a classic example of a guy who needs at least a year of seasoning in the American League, if not more. But due to the depth in this organization, if he plays really, really well and is banging and crashing and making some noise, well, there might be a spot for him by the end of next season. Well, the owners don't want that. You want that guy to be able to have that time.
Well, it's not only it's the fact that if you send guys to the American League, if Mitch Moraz isn't playing any sort of minutes, it doesn't do him any good.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where they screwed up in the past. You send four or five young kids at the same time. You know, three of them are on the fourth line, you know, and the other guys are maybe in the press box now. That does you no good. So you have to make a concerted effort to say, you know what, we're developing. And if he can't get ice time there, then he's better off. Even maybe if he's one of the elite players in junior, he's still better off there getting all sorts of ice time than he is being a maybe in the American League.
Yeah, no, I agree. And they need to make the right decisions developmentally with these guys because Tyler Pitlick, similar kind of pick, early second round, and the future on this guy is still very much up in the air. Showed a little bright flash this last year that makes you curious about what else he might have. Curtis Hamilton, another second round pick. These are the kinds of guys who you need to make good decisions with, and these are the picks that need to pan out for them because they're the ones who give you that Toffoli-type depth. That's, you know, Kyle Clifford type depth where you find these guys and they come in and they're good NHL players who contribute. And that's where the Oilers need some help within their organization. It can't just be all top 10 picks who make the team and then whatever free agents you can scrounge together and taking a flyer on a Jesse Joensuu. There needs to be some sure bets coming through the system. And right now you look at what the Oilers have up front in the system, and there's just not a lot in the way of sure bets outside of their top picks.
No, not at all. Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, outside hockey, TSN, of course, is the main home for the CFL.
Yes.
What are you hearing as far as, you know, pressure from the TV guys to be like, hey, boys, get a deal done?
Yeah, I'll be right honest with you. I have not dove into this whole thing very hard because I'm just coming off hockey season and trying to lay low a little bit. I think that, look, it's important, I think, for CFL fans and for certainly our network, for the league to be healthy and for us to be showing games. I think that's an ideal scenario. But I've covered enough labor disputes over the years to be smart enough not to openly pick a side when you work for the broadcaster. You hope that there's some middle ground and the players, you want the players to get what they have coming to them and to be treated fairly, but the league needs to be healthy for that to happen. So as part of TSN, my company line is we hope that there's lots of CFL football on TSN this year.
I didn't know.
I don't know what you want.
Way to be politically correct.
Yeah, like I don't know. I'm probably not the right guy to ask that. It's one of those ones where I'm not right ingrained in the ins and outs of it all. You're just kind of sitting back waiting to see what happens, you know. But I mean, the bigger news to me today was us losing Dave Randorf.
Yes. Are you replacing him?
No, I don't think so. That whole move into Toronto thing might be a bit of a deterrent for the family.
Uh-huh.
But Dave's a great guy.
I thought you'd want to work with Dunnigan and Schultz. Like, you could be on the panel every day. Like,
yeah.
You've been waiting to be on a panel. Now you could be on the panel every day.
Yeah. Well, catching a flight once or twice a week and all that. Oh. No, thanks. I'll stay in Sherwood Park. I'm happy.
See, I honestly thought the reason why you didn't want that job is because you're worried that every time when Randorf has to throw the football to each one of them in studio, you would be throwing incomplete passes too often. You wouldn't like
it. Well, here's the problem. I'm a lefty, so I would be throwing with my inside arm instead of across my body to them. And, yeah, it could be carnage in there. They would need to put two or three balls under the desk
Yep.
So I could try again.
It's true. Yeah, I keep forgetting you're backwards and you're lefty, but that explains a lot.
Yeah.
You are kind of Ned Flanders now that I think about it.
A little bit. Yeah. Left-handed, but shooting golf right. Which I think is probably why I was not that good at either golf.
But what about
hockey?
Okay, whoa. So you shot right in golf, but left in hockey?
No.
Huh.
I'm left-handed, but I shoot left and I golf, or I shoot right and I golf right.
Oh, okay. See, I'm right-handed, but I shoot left, golf left. Most people, I know most guys who are right-handed. A lot of guys are shoot left in hockey that are right-handed.
But nobody would shoot left in hockey and golf, right, would they?
I know there are a few weirdos that do that, and I don't understand.
That would be crazy.
It's totally backwards. Yeah, I don't get it at all. So.
Yeah, but I play guitar like a right-handed person. So I'm all twisted up and backwards, and that's why I end up just being very mediocre at everything I try.
Oh, well, hey, don't want to set the bar too high.
Exactly.
All right, so we can cross you off the list as not replacing Dave Randorf?
Yes.
Okay.
You can officially eliminate me from that. Although he did some other stuff. He did some hockey play-by-play and stuff too with us. So
yeah. What do you know what he's doing?
On the list for some of that.
Do you know
what is
he just quit TV outright, did he not?
No. Oh. He'll be surfacing here shortly. I'm not going to be the one to let any cats out of any bags, but he'll be surfacing shortly at a network near you.
Oh.
But Dave's got lots of experience doing hockey play-by-play.
And
it wouldn't surprise me if something along those lines came his way.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not very smart, but I can figure that out, Rashog. So thank you very much.
Okay,
I don't want to be the cat that let that. I like that was very subtle. All our listeners are like, where could he be going? I can't understand. But that's good for him. Perfect.
He's a talented Western Canadian broadcaster.
Yes, there you go. All right, man. Thank you, Ryan Rashog.
Okay, buddy. Take her easy.